We've been talking about many things lately, and this month the theme, as we all know, is devotion that grows your heart and faith. However, we also are talking about how generationally we need to connect to God and really build a church that is multi-generation and walk through that. So this morning, I'd like to get into that conversation and help us understand that we cannot get caught so much in our identity of this world. We must take on the identity of Jesus Christ irrespective of generation. Amen? It's important to understand that, because if we don't do that, we get stuck. We get stuck in a very worldly way of thinking, stuck in just a version that is not of God at all. And here's what we want to talk about a little bit. Let me just get into it. It says in Romans 12, the Message version. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. It's important God help us. Take your everyday ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. It's daily life, small stuff. We try to sweat the big stuff, the small stuff. It's saying, let's talk about that stuff. Embrace what God does for you in the best is the best. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. That we've got to come to this space where we really embrace God and accept what God is doing for us. We tend to think we're doing things for ourselves. That is the culture of today. We think we're doing things for ourselves. No, God is doing things for us. Embrace that. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And I think that church, that is a challenge of the 21st century church, that it is adjusting itself so much to the world that we don't even think about how that's affecting us. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly responding to it. Readily being able to understand what is God wanting from me and then responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, all is dragging you down to its level of immaturity. The culture around us has a lot of immaturity. You know, cultures are very interesting. They make you think that's the truth. I was just talking to Joe Cook this morning, and I said, you know, he was telling me stories, and that's so true. When I grew up, smoking was the in thing. You know, it was a cigarette called Marlboro and Camel, and I think he was telling me that the doctors actually smoked more of the Camel. This thing was dangerous. Now we know that. But it was fashionable. It was in the movies. The star had to smoke and, you know, talked and hit it, and it was the in thing. It was the in thing. Now it's, you can put things online and step back. Say things about people and step back. And you think, no, that's okay. It's not okay. We are adjusting the world so much that the light in us is dying out. You know, the other thing about our American culture is that we don't want anyone to take advantage of us. So we are constantly angst about, I got to stand up. When you're in that mode, how do you submit to God when you're always in angst about standing up? I have experiences about this conversation sometimes. I once said hello to a guy who had a gun, and then he took a few minutes before he answered me. And I thought, what's the deal? I just said hello. Then he said, fine. After, he thought I was trying to gauge whether he was up to it. And I said, I was just saying hello. And I've said hello to people that just go quiet like, I'm just saying hello. But everybody's so anxious, you're going to take advantage of me. If that seeps in the church, there's no trust. We can take on a CNN and Fox culture. This is what I lean. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this from all angles. Never scripture. Just let's talk about it. From how I feel, it's my truth. Well, there's a God truth, the one that knows everything, that everything can submit to that. Everybody else can put their stories on it, and we can just get on and on. And I say that because I think as a church, we got to be careful about being stuck in what we want to do, being stuck in the world way, being stuck in some old things, being stuck in just how we view the God. So we're going to talk about that, but before I keep going, I have a brother to share about his cultural challenges in this generation. Abram.
Well, I just want to talk a little bit about just with devotion, keeping with that theme. There's so many things, how Mr. Steve talked about, things that want to pull us away from being devoted to God and from being committed in that devotion and really trying to just keep that number one. And I think I really love what Mr. Scott said this morning about contentment, because I just feel like these days there's so many different ways, they're inventing new ways for you to feel discontent with what you have. And the way the Bible talks about contentment, it kind of says what you have right in front of you is enough. And if you have food and clothes, then you have enough to be grateful for. That's plenty to be happy about. But I think kind of how he said earlier, if you go online, or even if you look to the person next to you and you see something that they may have or they may experience or anything, and it makes you, it kind of tears you away from that. And you start kind of thinking, well, you know, I don't necessarily need to be devoted to God. I need to figure out what this person has on straight, because they seem like they've got something that I really want. And I think something personally for me, even these past couple weeks, that's been kind of pulling at my own devotion to God outside of like generational things like social media and like things like that, is just my one another relationships. And I think I put a big focus in just trying to connect to the people around me and try to make sure that people felt like I was there for them. And that, you know, if they needed me, or if there was something they were going through or whatever it may have been, I could go there and I could be there with them. But I saw the ways I was neglecting my own relationship with God, and I was losing that devotion to him and telling myself, you know, I'm helping God's people, or I'm doing this thing. But I just saw the ways that like my own heart was moving further and further away from God. And now I say that to say, like, I definitely, I'm not advocating against helping people or anything like that. Like, that is super duper important. But I think that what I told myself was, if I'm doing this other stuff, like spending time with God and being in my Bible and praying and things, like those things, they can get put on the back burner. I can save those for later. But those are things for me personally. And I think a lot of people my age, they really kind of experience, and they really, there's so many different things, and God's not necessarily the loudest thing talking all the time. And so that's about all I have for you guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Abraham, for giving us perspective. And I want us to really understand that unless we work together and understand the challenges we face, we may not really be devoted, but just be doing stuff. But let's keep moving from it and talk about it. So how do we get back to this devotion? Let the grace of God then teach you to do these things. You may be going through all kinds of things, and you're held back to your devotion and say, what happens? So let the grace of God teach you. Titus 2:11-12, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. This scripture was written many, many thousand years back, but it's very relevant today. If you think about to say not today, it's a very hard thing to godly ways, to the internet, the Facebook. Now, we can go on and on and on, and all the apps that come with that. In the Message version, says, God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation available for everyone. We are being shown how to turn our backs on godless, indulgent life and how to take on God-filled, God-honoring life. This new life is starting right now. God-honoring life. On Wednesday, I talked strongly about the need for us to go back to that very need of deep relationship with God, prayer, breaking bread, and all that stuff. And so this week, for some reason, Tracy Barnes and I met. We're hanging out. We're talking. We were fellowshipping. We were practicing the Bible, Acts chapter 2. And we were talking about our struggles and the things that happen and how God can help us overcome those things. In a restaurant, we're sitting outside, and the conversation must have been going, I can't remember, I think it was an hour plus. As we stood up to leave, there was a lady next to us that says, excuse me, I didn't mean to drop, but I felt like I was in a church. Where do you guys go to church? And, you know, I think Tracy gave the number and all that stuff is happening, and I pray that she makes it here one day. But here's my point. We were there talking about how we have been growing and the struggles we've experienced in the process of growth and how God had given us strength to come back. Let's suppose that we sat out there and talked about how we were perfect. I prayed 1 hour this week. I fasted 2 days this week. I love my wife all the time. I'm parenting my kids perfectly. Let's suppose that was a conversation. Do you think should have said, excuse me? Because there was no grace. There were perfect people talking about it. The truth be told, though, that some of us have lost devotion because we measure our devotion by outside things. So we have not let the grace of God teach us. We are guilty reading, tired reading, and because we think, I've not done this, I've not done that, I've not done this, we now no longer know how the Spirit of God works because it's all performance. And we come across judgmental. And we are easily offended when we talk about God's truth. Because how can you say that? I'm showing you the good news. I'm telling you that you got to let the grace of God teach you. That you're not perfect, but God can walk with you. And right now He can do that. Not tomorrow. Right now, you got to stop thinking performance and say, how do I have a relationship with God? Let the grace of God teach you. In other words, in that conversation, Tracy Barnes and I had that conversation. We were just being very vulnerable about life and what God was doing in our lives and how we had experienced growth irrespective of the defeats we've had over many years. What's your story? Some of us show up and act like nothing is going on. We're fine. We are perfect. Oh, man, I'm doing good. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? Why do you ask? Now we go defensive. Then I may quote and say, oh, the guilty runs on one pursue. Oh, how can you say that? How do you know what's in my heart? Now the subject is no longer about God. It's all along about how I'm reacting. You know how we switch conversations very gradually now. It's how you came across and how you said it and all that stuff. And we don't pay attention to the Word of God and what it's saying to our hearts. So I say that to us and say, let the grace of God teach you. Jesus died on the cross before you were perfect. And He wants to continue healing you even right now. Amen? While the grace of God is teaching you, do everything out of love. 1 Corinthians 16:14-16. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Acher. And they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labor at it. Do everything in love. I got to ask you, why do you do what you do? Because I must? It's expected of me, or because you love? I know you go to work to get a check, but I hope you love your job. And if you don't, let's work at it. Now, let's understand this. It says, do everything out of love. You know that the house of Stephanus were the first converts of Acts. They were devoting themselves to service of the Lord. If you're not doing things out of love, you will not devote yourself to serving God. See, love is not proud. Love does not keep records of wrong. Love rejoices in truth. Love is patient. Love is kind. And you can look at 1 Corinthians 13. Let's talk about this issue a little bit here and say, you know what? If we don't understand, love is not a feeling. The idea that you serve God because you feel like, you're letting emotions become Lord, not the Word of God. The way I deal with my emotions, I say, I am feeling this, but what does the Bible say? Then I submit to the Scripture. Does that make sense? Then I begin to change. The reason devotion diminishes is because we've stopped to say, what does the Bible say? So this is what I feel. I'm just going to put it out there. This is what I feel. You know, it's funny how as technology has advanced, as human beings we've gone backwards, we shame each other. We say things are not right. Online, I mean, we just take on people online and we don't even know these people. And we judge them. We tell them how they're useless. And they're like, you don't even know me. You judge me by one sentence. And yet, we don't do a lot of things of love. And the same thing is connected to the body of Christ. You've got to love the body of Christ. But it has to come from God. Then you start serving and giving yourself to the body of Christ. But the main issue here is do everything in love. Because God first loved us, He reached out to us. We have to take the same mentality. Not because the other person is being godly or being nice or fitting our bill. We reach out to them anyway because God loved us first. So we can take that example and reach out to other people. There are so many people I've tried to talk to them about God and they don't even pay attention. I've told you my stories of how I say hello to people and some ignore it. It doesn't stop me. It doesn't stop me because I have done that to God many times over. God tries to reach out to me and I'm ignoring, I'm doing my own thing, but He still reaches out to me. God doesn't treat me based on my sins, so I am not going to start treating human beings like that. I may have boundaries and all that stuff, but I will not stop loving people. Is it possible that you stop loving people? That you judge, you critique, you put them down. You don't show them the truth. You don't care for them. Is it possible that you become such a person? You know, sometimes you can be in the culture of just being an activist that is always complaining about something, but never just figuring out how love can change things. And that is what we've got to get to love and connect to stuff, and then you see life turning around. If we understand love, then we can really engage to our relationship with God and serve. And the Bible says that they submit to such people. We have to learn to submit to one another. You know, the fear of being dominated, the fear of someone taking advantage, makes people weird. We just don't trust nothing. And the more you read, the more you're anxious. But I've learned one thing. God is in control. That's one thing that keeps me at peace. God is in control. You can do all you want to do. God will catch up with you. So that should give us peace. And we can love God like that. Amen? So do everything out of love. The next thing is spiritual defeat comes from sin. Let's talk a little bit about our defeats. You know, there are things that can defeat you in your life, right? It can be that there's a certain area in your life, maybe it's your marriage, that certain things just defeat you. It can be as a single person you're defeated with certain things, whether it's the computer or just something can defeat you. Sometimes it's just your work, you're defeated there. Sometimes it's your neighborhood, you're defeated there. Sometimes it's brothers and sisters in church, they've just defeated you. Like, what's wrong with these people? But look at what the Bible says here a little bit. Joshua chapter 7 verse 10 through 13. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on the face? This is after he had told them to go around seven times, blow the trumpet, the walls come down. And then he says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them into their own possessions. They were supposed to go around and blow the trumpet, have the walls come down, destroy everything, and only bring about Rahab. But instead, as the soldiers went in, they saw some shiny stuff and kept some for themselves. The destruction was supposed to be part of honoring that to God, devoting it to God. In other words, if you and I are honoring God and devoted to God, we also have to deal with sin. Sin is not a bad word. In other words, where we're not lining up with God, we've got to move away from that and say, can we line up with God? You're missing the mark. Let's just come back and line it up with God. Does that make sense? You know, I was playing the other day. What was that game we were playing together with you, Austin? Yeah, we were playing pool with Austin the other day. And I had not played pool for like 15 years or so. So Austin was trying to tell me the ball game and stripes and all that stuff. And man, I would go and try to line up and he's just hitting them. Get going. I'm like, what about me? Let me try. It's bouncing around. I'm like, good Lord, I need help here. And we kept talking. But I'm just trying to play and I kept playing. And eventually I got some going and I won the game on a technicality. Yeah, he hit the ball. I said, I won the game. I said, wow, I won the game after 15 years of not playing. Now, don't get too caught up with winning and losing. That's just a story over there. But the point is that what I needed to do on that day, I came and told him, honestly, I've not played for such a long time. I was honest about that. I didn't say, you know what, I think I can do this. That would be a lie to myself. And I said, you know what I like about this game? We're going to spend time and hang together. That's what counts for me. So we'll do it anyway. Let's play. And I say to myself, okay, I think that sometimes what we do as Christians, we stop to honor God. We lie to ourselves. We keep certain things in our character that are not godly, so we don't connect with people. And before we know it, we're not devoted at all to God. And the reason I say all that is they lied. The stuff that they liked, they kept. There are things about your character that you're afraid to show, so you keep that stuff. Like, we don't like to show our weaknesses. I was showing him my weaknesses. You know, I can play that game pretty good. But we don't like to talk about our weaknesses because we think that that makes us less a person. Here's the truth. Whether I tell you or not, I have the weaknesses. So who am I kidding? Whether you tell me or not, I know I have weaknesses. So who am I kidding? So then why do I walk around? Why do we then turn around and try to pretend to take so much energy to put up a perfect space? Just relax and ride with God and have a good time. You never know when the wind comes. They were lying. They had put some of their own possessions, stolen stuff. There are things that we should be giving to God, but we're keeping it for ourselves. We're stealing from ourselves and from God. We got to give that to God. The Bible says here that is why the Israelites cannot stand against the enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. Something happens when you're not authentic. You cannot stand up. Something happens to you when you're not authentic, when you're a double speaker, when you're not really, you cannot stand up when you're not saying, God, this is me. It's not perfection. It's when you just say, this is who I am. You cannot stand up. That becomes a very difficult thing to handle. And yet, we tend to think that church is all about being perfect. Oh no, church is a hospital. Yeah, some of us came in here broken, and God's taking care of us. Some of us showed up here in an ambulance and we were not breathing and we needed people like Tony to take care of us and we're here. Some of us showed up with a headache, so slight headache, but we're here. Some of us showed up with cancer, but we're here. Some of us showed up with a cough, but we're here. The problem is that we take those things and start feeling important. Like, I don't have bad sickness like you. Oh, no. We are all under the grace of God. But you lose that defeat because then you start feeling self-important. That's another issue that can go wrong here. So anyway, with anyone, unless you destroy whatever's among you, we have to destroy things that are destroying us as a church, whether it's generational, whether it's sin, just all kind of things. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. There are devoted things among you. Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. What's my point? We've got to confront the issues in our lives. Parenting, marriage, single life, job issues, growth issues, sin issues. We got to deal with that stuff. That's how you grow. You say, will I ever get done? Never. Until you get to heaven. So don't race. Do a good job. Do a good job dealing with it. Don't race towards finishing it. Do a good job dealing with it. Take time and be quiet and hear God, and you'll see that you hear God's voice. Amen? Maturity happens when we live by the Spirit. You can be mature of body, but not of spirit. You can be mature of age, but not of spirit. Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Question: how do you feel when you go to the office tomorrow and the guy next door got a raise and you did not get it? How do you feel when you open your Facebook and people are on holiday and you are not on holiday? How do you feel when you go on Instagram and see all the pictures and what's going on and the makeup and all that stuff, and you feel like something's wrong with me? I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too wide. I'm too thin. Worldly stuff. We're not living by the Spirit. The world is pushing that so much that people don't even accept how God created them. We don't accept how God created us. We almost think God doesn't know. Talk about arrogance. God knows what's best for us. We'll let the world decide how we feel. How do you feel when you find someone you grew up with buying a house and you haven't bought a house? Let's talk about it. How do you feel you're going to go to school and some people are popular, but you're not popular? Don't worry about them, by the way. They're liked by everybody. You're not liked so much. You're right. You're in a good space. That's the stuff he's talking about. How do you feel when you find out that someone has a million and you only have $6 to your account? Hey, we went to school together. What's going on? Yeah, here's a million. I got $6 to my account. To my name. This is real stuff. We're Christians. We live for heaven, right? We're putting ourselves to test right now. Right now. And I'm not saying all those things are bad. I'm just saying, but how do you feel? How do you feel when you feel like someone is progressing and you're not? Let's talk about this stuff. The unsaid truth that boils within us. How do you feel when you see one somebody's child doing this and your child is not doing that? You see, we let that stuff destroy our spiritual living because now it's all competition. Now it's not about God. Now it's about just our flesh. And that's what he's addressing. And the message says, but for the right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing much more than nursing at the breast. Well, then, I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything. He's not giving up on us. I'm just going to nurse you anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much different than a babe at the breast, content only when everything is going your way? That is so immature. That I'm only content when things are going my way. Tell me the last time everything was going your way. Everything lined up. You had everything lined up. Your life was lined up. Money was lined up. The car was lined up. Children were lined up. Your wife was lined up. Husband lined up. Job lined up. House lined up. The lawn was lined up. Doors opening right. There's always something going on. There's always something going on. Why do we fret? So anxious about everything. Oh man, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? God is in control. Why do we fret? We fret about things. I'm like, why are you fretting? God got it. When you fret, it's because you lack the understanding of who God is. You know, I have this question I always ask myself. Sometimes I'm anxious. Then 2 days later, whatever I was anxious about went by and then nothing happened. I said, what if I just came about that day without being anxious? I'd have had a better quality of life anyway. So let's say you're anxious about when you get to 70. What if you just lived a good life now and waited for 70 to come? Don't worry about 70, it'll come. Just live a good life. Trust God, in other words, be content. That's what I'm talking about here. Maturity happens when we live by the Spirit. It means we submit our desires to God. It means we submit our will to God. You know, Jesus prayed, not my will, but as you ask what you want, but say, may your will be done. You have to be open to God's will as well, not just your will all the time. Then you become spiritual and mature. Amen? This is a space that you will wrestle with until you die. I'm not always okay in this space. I fight with it some days I'm okay. It's a place you wrestle with. Some days you're lined up, it's amazing. Some days you're falling apart and you need the Holy Ghost to bring you back. And finishing. Do you have a worldly perspective of God? Let's finish here. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. What do I mean by a worldly perspective? What is the opposite of devotional? Irreligious, secular, non-religious, profane, earthly, mundane, terrain, terrestrial. But just talk worldly. Let's talk about this. I won't talk about this. Just a little joke over here. Worldly. When you're worldly, God fits the way you think. But when you're spiritual, God lifts you above all the issues. It's infinite in nature. You keep growing, you keep growing, you keep growing. When you're worldly, you indulge in yourself. I want to talk a little bit even to young men and young women. How do you see sisters? How do you see women? How do you see men? In a world that allows so much to be said, we can reduce people to how they look and not see who they are. If you're a single woman, a single brother, treat others as your sister in Christ. If you reduce them to just, well, she's pretty, she's whatever. And there are things I cannot even say in church that we sometimes post. It can't be said about that, about us. We've got to get spiritual about how we see things. How we see leadership, it needs to be spiritual. You got to listen to Scott Dang's message this morning. There's a lot of spiritual stuff there. We got to be spiritual about how we see one another and not worldly. Then the peace that transcends all understanding will guide our hearts. God bless you.